It's 5 Live on AM and FM on stations around the UK. I'm Anita Arnand. We're up all night. At one so-called weapon site, reporters found pigeon droppings and feathers caked inches thick. Evidence from Time magazine that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. But perhaps even Saddam Hussein didn't know it. They call him Papa Pilgrim, and armed with a bulldozer, he's taking on America's federal authorities. The feds, in turn, are determined to avoid another Waco or Ruby Ridge. And it's our football phone-in tonight, Tim Vickery, our South American expert, and Sean Wheelock from Major League Soccer in the States, on hand to take your calls. Well, there's a big wrangle in Wrangell, St. Elias in Alaska. It's a small town and it's witnessing a standoff between one of its most colourful citizens and armed rangers from the national park. It all started when Papa Pilgrim, the owner of a Hillbilly Heaven Ranch, decided to bulldoze a route to his property because it had become impassable. Now park authorities have barred him from using the road to his home, and that's really bad news because the only other way to bring in winter supplies for himself and his 15 children is by air. Rick Kenyon is with the Wrangell St. Elias News, and he's one of Papa Pilgrim's neighbours. Hello there, Rick.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Can you tell us this story, then? What exactly did Papa Pilgrim do, and why are the park authorities so upset about it?
Well, it's an interesting story, and what he really did is he drove home on a bulldozer, which is the only way that you can cross the river on the road that goes to his house. And it's interesting, this has been going on for the last 80 years, but suddenly the National Park Service has said it's forbidden. And it caught everybody really by surprise.
So when they said it was forbidden, what, were they trying to stop him from actually taking that route anymore, physically?
Yes, that's true. They've told him he may not use it with a bulldozer or any motorized vehicles, that he must access his property with horses or by air.
It doesn't sound like Papa Pilgrim's going to take that lying down, though.
Well, he really can't. He can't supply his homestead by that method.
So what's the situation at the moment? He's not willing to back down, they're not willing to back down. Where are we at?
Well, he has applied several times for a permit from the Park Service in order to use that road, and it doesn't sound like they're going to give him one in time to supply his family for winter, so it's difficult to know how it's going to end. I don't think there'll be any armed confrontation. The family is careful to not carry any arms when they're near the federal agents.
Sure, and I guess the federal agents are very touchy as well. They don't want another Waco, another Ruby Ridge on their hands, do they?
I'm sure that's true, they don't.
Well, what sort of man is Papa Pilgrim? Can you tell us?
Well, he's very colorful and interesting, as the story told, but just a really genuine person, I guess you'd say, and the family is just really amazing. The 15 children, I've really never met a family like them. Very capable, very loving, willing to help their neighbors, somewhat lacking in the social skills necessary to deal with the federal bureaucracy.
Very, very religious as well. Some of the children's names, Psalm, Lamb, for example, that's very unusual, isn't it?
Yes, that's true. They're very committed to their faith and very outspoken about it.
I mean, you're speaking about him with great tenderness, Rick. Is he a very popular man in the area?
Well, he's the kind of a man that you either really like or you probably really don't like. And when he first came to the area, most of us, I've lived here for 25 years, most of us were somewhat skeptical. He dresses different, the family dressed different, certainly talk different.
In what way different?
Well, they wear quite a lot of homespun clothes. They don't watch television. They don't watch movies. They won't go in the bar or drink any alcohol. They're very, like I say, committed to their faith and quite outspoken about it, and this turns some people off. But we've grown to like them quite well. Certainly, they're trying to do right. They have, as I say, I think they lack some social skills to deal with government.
Yeah, so what do you think is going to happen then, Rick? Winter's coming. He needs to feed his family. Looks like the federal authorities are pretty staunchly entrenched on their point of view. What's going to happen? Is it going to come to blows, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think what's going to happen, there's talk of arranging an airlift to help the family get their supplies. There's quite a bit of support in Alaska for helping the family. Many Alaskans see this as that it's going to be their issue one day, whether they can access their property also. So they're willing to help, and I think people are going to come together and get to bring their airplanes and help the family get supplied.
What does the law have to say about it?
The law enforcement?
No, not the law enforcement, but I mean, does Papa Pilgrim have any recourse in law?
Well, yes, I think at the end of the thing, he's going to come out real well, because actually the state and federal law are on his side. And what we believe anyway, and I've had to research this quite a bit since the subject came up, is that the Park Service it really doesn't have the law on their side. They've got regulations that are not carrying the weight of law. And I think he's going to come out okay, but it's quite a harsh thing in the meantime.
Rick Kenyon, thank you very much indeed. And Kevin Anderson, our internet expert, is with us now. And just one of those strange coincidences, Kevin, you know about Papa Pilgrim, don't you?
Well, yeah, I was actually up in Wrangell, St. Elias, hiking through the wilderness last year. So there are quite a few colorful characters, and a lot of people who live up there definitely see themselves as kind of the last frontier, and a bit of frontier law goes on, to be sure.
Sure. And did you actually meet him personally?
No, we didn't. We actually drove into a small town called McCarthy and then flew out of there into the middle of nowhere. So I'm sure it was pointed out to us on the way in. And calling them roads up there, that's a bit generous.
Right.
So I can see why that you might need a bulldozer to get around.
And it's that kind of opting out of, you know, the modern American dream. It happens quite a lot. You have sort of militias springing up. You have families who decide to live their own way. I mean, can you give us a little bit of background? I mean, this has echoes to me of Ruby Ridge, where a family just said, leave us alone. We don't want to deal with you. Am I drawing too much of a parallel?
Yeah, maybe, possibly, because it doesn't sound necessarily like this person opted out because of any political beliefs necessarily. They might just like living off the land, like living. I mean, it sounds like they definitely have some, you know, out of the mainstream beliefs. But, you know, Ruby Ridge, that was somebody who was strictly anti-government, anti-federalist. And you do get some very, you know, rugged individual types up in Alaska. I mean, and then they wear it quite proudly. But to say that they're as, you know, strongly anti-government as Randy Weaver of Ruby Ridge was, I just don't know this guy generally, but definitely independent folk up there.
Okay. Well, let's look at your subjects this week. Blogging, W. Bush style, what's that all about?